Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Today we are going to do the 39th Shir in Sefer HaMitzvos, which corresponds to the 6th, 7th, and 8th chapter of Hilchos Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos. The past two Shiurim we talked about the fulfillment of the positive mitzvah in the Rambam system number 154. Mitzvah Kuf Nun Dalet is the commandment, Lishbeis, to cease all work on Shabbos. In Shir Lamentes, we talk about Mitzvah Shinchof, the 320th negative mitzvah, along with the notion that it is a positive mitzvah to be in a state of rest, in a state of tranquility, in a state of leaving behind all of the everyday activities that comprise the regular life that we live, there's also a negative mitzvah. In the translation of Sefer HaMitzvahs, HaAzhara, this is the Torah's warning, Sheos Harna, that we were warned, Milaseis Melocha B'Shabbos. We shouldn't do any work on Shabbos. As the Torah says, Lotase Kol Melocha. You shouldn't do any work. Any work? V'ha'ivir Alavzer, a person who violates this negative prohibition of the Torah, in the Torah, Peirush Be'akosov, there is a very specific and clear series of verses that talks about the consequences. The Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvahs that a person who violates this, Shehu Bekores, that he would find, Rachman Litzlan, God forbid, his soul cut off from the Jewish people. That would be the case, Im Le Yodah Be'Hadayon, if the judge does not know, in the sky, however, if a person would have a full court proceeding, but there would be witnesses, and we would know for a matter of fact that the person was fully aware of the severity of Shabbos and violated it nonetheless, chayiv skila, then the most severe of capital punishments is meted out. The Rambam says, kol zehu b'mezid. That's only when a person does so with the full knowledge and full intention. V'mahaya shegig. A person does so accidentally, and accidentally, I would venture to say, also includes the notion of somebody being brought up in an environment where, yeah, of course there's Shabbos, but, and he grows up with the idea that, yeah, such a concept is for Orthodox Jews, but the rest of us are not really obligated to keep Shabbos. And because of this, he doesn't keep Shabbos, and he actually convinces himself that it's really just fine. As long as he goes to shul and makes kiddush on Friday night, it's okay. So I would venture to say that's also not a mezid. It's also a shegig. So the person who's a shegig, the person who is in a state where he doesn't understand the severity and importance of Shabbos and therefore violates it, makriv chatas kavua, has to bring an affixed sin offering. Some of the offerings are erla v'yered. There's a bigger offering or a smaller offering, and then there's a more serious offering. The mitzvahs of the details of this mitzvah are explained in Masechet Shabbat. Now, in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, after first telling us that Shviso Bashvi Melacha Mitzvah Saseh, after telling us that stopping, ceasing work is actually a positive mitzvah, Torah is telling you, you shall not do this, meaning there's a positive mitzvah to bring peace and tranquility into your life, as it says of Yem Ashvi Tishbeis, the Rambam immediately goes on to say, V'chol Ha'isa Bei Melacha, a person who violates the Shabbos, Bitel mitzvah saseh, would violate the mitzvah saseh we learned about in the previous shiurim. The avar alei saseh, he thusly violates a negative commandment of the Torah. And this is the commandment we just talked about, mitzvah shinchof, lo tasek ha-malacha. Umahu chayev al asiyas ha-malacha. So what are the consequences for doing this work on Shabbos? Work, by the way, does not mean lifting dumbbells or running around the block. Work means what's defined from a Torah perspective as work, which is the Lamed Tes Melachos, the 39 different categories of work. So striking a match is forbidden according to the Torah. Combustion is considered to be a creative act. Running around the block 10 times until you're ready to fall on your face is not a creative act. It's not appropriate. It's not in the spirit of Shabbat, but it's not formally a violation of the Shabbat. When we talk about Ha'isa Bei Melacha, we're not talking about the person who shows up in his office. We're not talking about the person who engages in what would seem to be mundane activities but doesn't actually violate the Lamed Tes Melachos. Ha'isa Bei Melacha means a person who violates one of the Lamed Tes Melachos, one of the 39 prohibitions of Shabbos, as they are spelled out in the Torah. So a person who does this violates this negative mitzvah, which in the Rambam system numbers 320. And what is the obligation? In Sefer Mishneh Torah, the Rambam is a little more explicit, develops a little bit more. Im osa biritzayin, biritzayin bizadin, if he does so purposely, and he does so intentionally. Now, the Radvaz asked the question, why does the Rambam say, use both expressions? Im osa biritzayin and bizadin. He does so willingly, ratzon is will. He willingly does it. And he also does it bizadon, which means in a way of treachery. He does it to violate the Shabbos. So the Radvaz says, if somebody willingly violates the Shabbos, but he doesn't realize that this is a violation of Shabbos, he knows what he intends to do. He intends to do A, B, and C. He intends to do so, but he doesn't realize that this is such a severe act, then that mitigates the idea of bizadin. Bizadin means he's fully aware, he knows what the Shabbat demands, he does exactly what the Torah says he shouldn't do, he does it willingly, and he does it treacherously. He does it in a way of sedition against God. So then Chayiv Kodesh, that person, Nachmana Litzlan, God forbid, would have his soul cut off from the Jewish people. If there was witnesses, and the reason that we have witnesses in such a case is to ascertain that the person is fully aware of what they're doing. Because after all, people are funny. And somebody could do something, and we don't know. Maybe they had a moment of temporary insanity. Maybe they didn't really understand what they were doing. Maybe they weren't focused on what they were doing. So therefore, we need to have Edim. And the Edim ascertain that, yes, this indeed was done with the full intention and the full treachery. The Edim would come along and say, you know, it says in the Torah, in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, Lotasa Komalacha, it's one of the Ten Commandments. And the person would say, yeah, I know. But you're not allowed to do it. And we're here witnessing this. Oh, you could say whatever you want. I have every intention of violating the Shabbat anyway. So then we know that it's bizadin. Then in that case, we have the idea of niskol, which is the severest kind of capital punishment, chas v'shalom. If a person does this bishgaga, which means he does it, but either he forgot that today is Shabbat, or he was unaware that this specific detail actually violates Shabbat, then he's chayev chatas kavua. This is, of course, the same thing that Rambam says in the book of mitzvahs. Here's an interesting detail which Rambam adds in Mishneh Torah, and that is that there are three kinds of expressions in the laws of Shabbos. This is an important rule to know in studying Rambam, but it's also an important rule to know in general in the laws of Shabbos, that there are three kinds of expressions. And the expressions are chayav, potur, and mutar. Chayav means held culpable, obligated. Potter means you're exempt from a punishment. Mutter means it's permitted to do. So the Rambam says, wherever it says chayav, that means the person who did this is going to have to deal with the consequences. Whether they are consequences of a judicial court that has not yet sat since 2,000 years ago, and in likelihood will never again mete out such punishments because the Mashiach will come, everybody will do tshuva. So this is a chiyuv of skila. This is a very serious punishment. And if the person is not in a situation where there could be edim and witnesses and a court, yechayev achatas kavua. In fact, there's a story in the Gemara of one of the sages who made a mistake, and he did something he shouldn't do. And he wrote down, hareini chayev chatas shmeina. He made it in his little notebook, that when Mashiach will come, because he was a good Jew, a holy Jew, he believed not only Mashiach could come, but he anticipated Mashiach's coming every day as a Jew is supposed to. So he wrote that in his ledger, when Mashiach will come, then I will bring a fat chatas, a beautiful chatas korban, to atone for my misdeed. So if somebody does something and he's chayav means he's obligated, he bears the inequity, he has to bear the sin. However, he doesn't technically maybe get the punishment carried out because the court is not in session, there was no witnesses, nonetheless chayav. So chayav could include either skila, which means the capital punishment, or it could include the idea of the kodesh. Then we have an idea of potter. By the way, chayav could also include chiyuv of chatas. Person did it totally by mistake, but he's chayav. This act is an act for which he's chayav. He pulled out his match, he struck his match, he lit a cigarette, he smoked a cigarette. He's chayav of chatas kavua. That's actually a violation of the biblical mitzvah of the Torah. And then there's something called potter. Potter means that you will not be held culpable. So, you know, in Canada, on most of the highways, you're not allowed to drive more than 100 kilometers an hour or 110 kilometers an hour. What happens if you drive 115 kilometers an hour or 114 kilometers an hour? No police officer will stop you. And nobody will be able to give you a ticket. If you go 4 miles over, 4 kilometers over the speed limit, they cannot hold you to it. However, if you go 10 kilometers over the speed limit, then they will give you a ticket for 10 kilometers over. Not 5 kilometers over, 10 kilometers over. Because technically, if the kilometers, the amount of you're allowed to travel is 110, you went 120, then you went 10 kilometers over. 115, will you be held culpable? No, you won't be held culpable. The law won't stick to you. You can't be punished. I'm not suggesting what you should do in your car. I'm just giving you an example. If a cop pulls you over and gives you a ticket for going 150 kilometers an hour in the 407, don't say, oh, 1 second, Rabbi Kaplan, he's one of your chaplains, he said you can't give us a ticket. Don't say that, I don't know. I'm just imagining, I'm assuming that would be the case. There will be things which are technically wrong. They violate the etiquette of the law, and they're not within the framework of the law. However, they're not something for which we could be held culpable. The Rambam says, when it comes to this mitzvah, there are certain things which a person is potter. Potter means exempt. Exempt whether it's with witnesses from skila, whether it's not with witnesses from kares, if it's done bizodin with full intention and with treacherous intent, and whether it's done accidentally with the chi of chatas kavua, the person will be exempt. However, if somebody comes and says, tell me, am I allowed to do this on Shabbos? Is this appropriate for Shabbat? What is the answer? Of course not. Of course not allowed to do that. Will I be taken to court? Will I be held culpable? To which the response is that the question? Is that the issue? Is it a question just of culpability? What about serving God with love? What about trying to do the right thing? What about living in accordance with the will of the Torah? Whether you be held culpable or not is the lesser question. The bigger question is, am I doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what Almighty God asks you right now? So therefore, the Rambam has a very interesting shita, which not all the Rishonim agree with. The Rambam's opinion is that the Isser would be midivrei Seferim, that the prohibition would be of rabbinic origin. And the reason for this rabbinic prohibition would be a harchaka min hamalacha. It would be a distancing from work. So in other words, is it right? No, it's wrong. It violates the etiquette of Shabbat. Why does it violate the etiquette of Shabbat? Technically, you get away with the law. Technically, you didn't violate the law. But the sages said that if you will behave in this manner, it's invariable that at some point you will go beyond the line of scrimmage and you will violate the Shabbat. And therefore, you're not allowed to do it. And therefore, here's an interesting point. The Rambam says, even though it's not technically a violation of the mitzvah number 320, it's not actually an infraction of the biblical prohibition, but because the chachamim tell you you're not allowed to do it, the sages would give you a good beating. This is called makas mardus. Makas mardut is a concept that's talked about in the Gemara. The word mered comes from the word revolt, sedition. Just like it says about the lights of Hanukkah, that they would light the... When the Gemara says, when should you light the flames of Hanukkah, the candles, the lamps, it says you should light it. There was a certain group of people, a certain social group, who were revolutionaries. And they were the ones who would hang out in the street late at night. So it says they were called Tarmudoi, until the Tarmudoi goes away. Which, by the way, is instructive to us. It tells us who we have to convey the message of Hanukkah, not only to well-coiffed professionals, not only to successful business people, even people who are the dregs of society, the revolutionaries, every human being is a recipient of the message of Hanukkah. But that's another story for a different day. Point is, Tarmudai is a permutation of the Hebrew word mered, which is the same root source of the word makat mardut. You violated what Hashem said. A certain Hasidic Shiyid once said, what does God say in the Shulchan Aruch? What does God say in the Shulchan Aruch? God didn't write the Shulchan Aruch, but he did write the Shulchan Aruch. In God's Torah, it says, Kechela Sheyerucha, that we have to listen to what the Chacham say, and therefore, if somebody violates the Shulchan Aruch, it's without a doubt to us that that's against the will of Hashem. And as such, the sages arranged in the framework of what we call Torah and Mitzvahs, what we call Yiddishkeit, that if somebody doesn't violate a biblical prohibition, but he violates willingly and treacherously a rabbinic prohibition, then that would also be considered something which is a violation of Shabbat rabbinically, and that person would receive makas mardus. Now, it's very interesting to point out that the Magid Mishnah comments, and he says, makas mardus is only applicable when we have what's called a loisase shel divrehem, a violation of a rabbinic origin. However, bedavar sheyesh leikar min haTorah. When we're talking about something that has a root source in Torah literature itself, in the Bible itself. So in other words, if somebody is to violate Hanukkah, if somebody is to violate Purim, if somebody doesn't give tzedakah properly, which these are rabbinic ideas, then that makas mardus doesn't apply. Makas mardus is the kind of rabbinic prohibition that was established as a fence, as a safeguard, to make sure that we adhere to Torah principles, to biblical principles. And therefore, the Magid Mishnah says that a davar she'ein le'ikar min haTorah, something which does not have a root source in Torah, for example, he says, netilat yadayim, washing your hands for bread, which is not a biblical mitzvah, even though we make the bracha, as the Kesef Mishnah says. So in that case, we would not be obligated to receive makas mardus. But when it comes to Shabbat, the observance of Shabbat, and the violation, chas v'shalom, of Shabbat, is an ikar min haTorah. It's just a biblical prohibition. L'sasa b'kol melacha. So the rabbis, according to the Rambam, the rabbis extended this prohibition into areas where it would include even things that are not technically limited to the actual infraction of the Torah. Nonetheless, despite this fact, the Torah, the Rambam nonetheless tells us that a person like this would get makas mardus. And by the way, makas mardus are not so hot. They're not so great, because makas mardus could end up being worse than the biblical malkut. Malkut of the Torah is only 39 lashes. That's the max you get. Makas mardus, the Beis Din would have to basically analyze the severity of the prohibition, the details of the person, and then they would have to make a decision as to what kind of makas to give this person. So this is the idea of potter. Potter does not mean it's okay. Potter means don't do it, but you'll be exempt. Finally, the last detail of the violation of this mitzvah is something called mutter. Mutter means permissible, and it is not a violation of this mitzvah. So that's something, hareze mutter lechatchila, the Rambam says, this is permitted to begin with, and wherever it says, eni chayef klum, not eni chayef, but eni chayef klum, you're not obligated in any way, shape, or form, or potter mi klum, you're exempt entirely, then, in that case, in makan eise klal, you do not receive any kind of punishment whatsoever. However, the Kesef Mishnah says that according to the Rambam, that does not mean it's okay. There's a difference between mutter and eni chayev klum or potter miklum. Eni chayev, you will not be obligated, you will not be held culpable at all, means that there will be no punishment meted out. And eni potter miklum means you will have no rabbinic punishment meted out. However, the Kesef Mishnah says there is tzad iser. There is still, you've violated something. There is a part of the etiquette that has been uprooted over here. This is not appropriate. This is not good behavior. Mutter means that this is something which is entirely permissible and would not be a violation of the Shabbat. And I'll leave you with one example of what is mutter on Shabbat. And I've had this question more than once. So people say they're walking to shul, and there's a shortcut. That's a good thing, they're walking to shul. As a shortcut, they're going through a field or an area which is not yet fully developed. And there, maybe it's possible that at some point when they take a step, maybe there's a piece of grass which is uprooted. Or maybe there's some kind of indenture which is made in the ground. Maybe it's not a certain thing, but maybe. Or maybe they're killing a bug or a worm when they walk. That's mutter on Shabbos. Why? Because, yeah, it's possible that something could happen, but it's not necessarily so. And then it becomes what we call a malacha she'ein etzicha legufa, a malacha which is not needed for its purpose, a malacha which is not intended. And we have a rule when it comes to violation of Shabbos that it has to be melechet machshevet asur Torah. You have to have intended to do this. So when it's the idea of psik reisha, which means it's impossible that you will not violate this mitzvah. It's impossible. How do you expect to do this if you're going to walk around with shoes that have blades on the ends of them through the grass? Of course you're cutting grass. That's impossible. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. However, if a person's walking through the yard, and it's possible that maybe in one of the steps he may take, that he may uproot some grass, this is mutter. This is mutter. It's not that I did something wrong. I did nothing wrong. Even if technically something happened which shouldn't have happened from the laws of Shabbos, that's not called a violation of Shabbos. That's not called an abrogation of the 320th mitzvah Torah at all. And then we have other areas where there's a chatzi shir, or when the full malacha is not carried out, or the malacha is not carried out in its fullest sense. That's when we start to get into the areas of putter or chayev, whether or not it's prohibited, but not really appropriate, or whether it's totally considered a violation of the 320th mitzvah of the Torah, which is, as mentioned, one of the severe mitzvahs of the Torah, for which a person who violates it would be in a situation of kares, or even, if chas v'shalom, if there was edim, in a situation of a capital punishment. And those are some of the details of the 320th mitzvah. Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue in the next year to analyze this mitzvah of the Torah.